Well, this morning we reminded ourselves of those six habits that we explored together last Sunday morning. And the six of them, do you remember, was that goal, first put into words by the Apostle Paul, the goal of knowing Jesus Christ better. You may remember how Paul puts it in chapter 3 of that letter to the church at Philippi, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, what I'd like to do on a Sunday, I don't know yet, let's see, but I'd like to explore those habits with you further. And tonight, I'd like us to think about that goal of knowing Jesus Christ better. If we are to know Jesus Christ better, then we are to find him in his word. So I'd like us to start this evening in Matthew and that third reading we had earlier, chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. We're going to start here. Then what we'll do is we'll turn to Matthew chapter 8, and we'll see the important verse there, before then finally combining the two stories of Jonah and Jesus as we find them in Matthew's gospel. So our goal is to know Christ, to know him better. We'll know him through his word, through reading the gospels, through understanding their message, and by seeing how Christ identifies himself. So Matthew 16, 1 to 4. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now here's a number of the leaders of Israel coming to Christ with the pretense of wanting to find out more about him. He'd been with them for about 18 months at this point, preaching his sermons, performing his miracles. He'd been healing, feeding the hungry, and the men and women of the Sadducees remained unconvinced about the identity of Jesus. So in these four verses, Jesus calls them hypocrites because they claim they want to know Christ, whereas in fact they are blinding themselves to what they see. And then in verse 4, Jesus identifies himself with the prophet Jonah. So in effect, what Jesus says to these leaders is this: if you want to understand who I am, then understand me in the light of the story of Jonah. Now, I know that many of us are used to looking at Christ and seeing the Old Testament background. So we'll often look at Christ and see that behind the words of Christ and the actions of Christ, there's someone like Moses or Elijah. But this is the only occasion when Jesus self-identifies. He says, the sign of Jonah. You want to know who I am? Then I'll point you to Jonah. And what you see in Jonah tells you about me. So verse 4. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it, and here it is, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now these men, Pharisees, Sadducees, would have been familiar with their Bibles. They would have studied and interpreted and taught the book of the prophet Jonah. So when Christ directs them to the story of Jonah and tells them that by looking at Jonah, they'll see him, then we are confident that we too can look at the prophet Jonah and learn more about Jesus Christ. So we'll turn to Matthew 8 and then to Jonah and chapter 1. Let's pray together and let's ask God to help us as we turn to his word. Lord our God, we thank you then that we have this goal as a congregation of knowing Jesus Christ more. Lord, we've set this up as a possible goal for ourselves as individual Christians. We have been called to faith in Christ, and he is the one who laid down his life for us. So, our God, we do recognize the rightness of wanting to know him more. Lord, we'll find him in the pages of Scripture. We've just sang more about Jesus in his word. Lord, we'll find him in the Gospels. We'll find him as we search wider throughout the whole pages of Scripture. So, Lord our God, as a result of this evening then, we ask that we would know him more, that we would have a clearer vision, a deeper understanding of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So we commend ourselves and we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So turn to Matthew then and to chapter 8. And you have the account here of Jesus crossing the lake on a boat. And what I'm hoping, it was the case for me, I'm sure it was for you, that when we read this passage earlier, you could see how similar it is to the experience of Jonah. So keep one finger in Jonah chapter 1, and let's read again from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. So here's Christ going into a boat, and the story of Jonah chapter 1 is Jonah getting into a boat. Now we are not going to expand further on why Jonah went into a boat. I'm assuming you know exactly why. So verse 24 of Matthew 8. Suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. So Jesus in a boat, a storm at sea. Jonah in a boat with a storm at sea. So that the boat was covered with the waves, but he, Jesus, was asleep. Now, when you read Jonah chapter 1, you read about Jonah being in the deepest part of the boat, fast asleep. Back to Matthew and chapter 8. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Now, the contact with Jonah is the mariners, the sailors, woke Jonah, and they told him that they were perishing, that because of the storm, the boat was sinking, and their lives were in danger. You can see, I'm sure, that if Jesus says to us, you want to understand who I am, look at Jonah, you can see the contact between Jesus here in Matthew 8 and the experience of Jonah. Now, these are the similarities. They are not accidental. It's a deliberate function of Scripture to tell you an experience of Jesus in the Gospels and to link that with the experience of others in the Old Testament. If you find these points of contact, then you are reading your Bibles as you were meant to do. So these are identicals, they are deliberate, they are to teach us about Jesus Christ. Now come back to Matthew 8, and at verse 26, we have differences. So when Jonah is woken, he's interrogated by the sailors. And when we read from chapter 1 earlier and from verse 8, there's a series of questions in that one verse. And the idea is that all the sailors would have talked at once, asking their different questions from Jonah. Who are you? Where are you from? Who's your God? What have you done? What's your job? They would have been shouting these questions at Jonah because the storm was raging and the boat was sinking. Jonah then, verse 9 of chapter 1, I am a Hebrew, I fear the Lord God. These are the words of Jonah. Now compare those to the words of Jesus. What does he say? He's been woken from sleep, a storm is raging, the disciples are fearful, just like the mariners in the story of Jonah. And Jesus says, why are you fearful of you of little faith? Jonah confesses his faith. I am a Hebrew, a follower of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He confesses his faith. But when Jesus is woken, he challenges the faith of the disciples. So there's a difference there. Matthew 8, verse 26. Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now compare that to the story of Jonah. The men, the sailors, were pagans. Now I don't want to talk a great deal about it, but what is true of the old world is the men and women living with their different gods would not have had faith. They would have believed the gods, but they weren't interested in the gods. They simply had the idea that you kept the gods happy so that they didn't ruin your plan. So all the sailors then were calling on their gods, asking their gods to be appeased. Jonah says, it's my fault that we're in this position. Throw me overboard and there will be a calm. Now the story runs, the sailors try to make land. So they haven't been long into their journey. They try to make land. The boat begins to break. And they throw Jonah overboard. Then the storm ceases. Now, do you see the difference? Jonah, the sense that he's running from the presence of God, God has sent the storm, that the sailors try to save the life of Jonah, but eventually give up, and the storm ceases. Now, by contrast, Matthew 8 and verse 26, he arose, rebuke the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So in both stories, there's a calm. In the story of Jonah, it's a calm after a struggle. It's a calm after appeasing the gods. It's a calm after Jonah has been sacrificed by being thrown overboard. Jonah and the sailors expect Jonah's death. Death brings calm in the story of Jonah. But here in Matthew 8, it's the word of the man who was sleeping that brings calm. Now, let's come to the key verse. Verse 27. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? And exactly, that's the question to ask. That's the question that Jesus wants asked. And that's what he means when he says, I'll give you the sign of the prophet Jonah. Because the question is, who is Jesus? And at the end of Matthew chapter 8, in these four verses, the disciples are so impressed by what they see that they ask this question. Who is he? Now, some of you may remember, I like to test your memories on a Monday night, especially in prayer meeting, but also on a Sunday. You may remember that we looked at this passage some time ago. And I did so in order to show you how to interpret our Bibles. Because this passage has been misused. And some of you will remember how. Many people will turn to this passage and say, this passage is all about us. And how, like the disciples, we can be all at sea. Like the disciples, storms can rage in our lives. And just like the disciples, Jesus can still the storms of our lives. So we take a passage that's obviously about Jesus. Who can this be? And we make it about us. We've got storms. The wind is blowing in our lives. And Jesus can settle the storm. This passage, if you rightly interpret it, is about Jesus. What do these events tell us about him? What do they tell us about his person? What do they tell us about his nature? What do they tell us about his power and his authority and his majesty and his glory? What do they tell us about him? And it's so obvious that this is about him and what we can learn about him that there's even the question there for you in verse 27. Who can this man be? So we are here to learn the answer to that question. So we've set it up. We've seen the sign of Jonah. We've seen the similarities between Jonah's experience and the experience of Jesus. And now we have the question, who can this man be? Well, will you turn to chapter 1 of the book of Jonah then? And we read the whole chapter earlier. And let me ask you, what do you think is the key verse? The key verse is verse 9. So Jonah said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Now keep that verse in mind, because that verse is the answer to the question, who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey him? Now, can you see how clear it is? And just to make sure you can see how clear it is, I want to read the two verses together. So, Matthew chapter 8, let's find it again. And I'll read verse 27, but let's read Jonah 1, verse 9. So Jonah said to them, I am a Hebrew, I fear the Lord God, and here's his description of God. The God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And then here's the question of the disciples. Matthew 8, verse 27. Who can this be? That even the winds and the sea obey him. So Jonah points to the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. The disciples then point to the one of about whom the wind and the seas obey him. So one, the disciples, points to a man who commands the seas and the winds. And Jonah points these sailors to the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Now, what I'm hoping is you can see very clearly what these two verses mean. I want to end by making this clear to you. So before we get there, I want to make a different point. We've seen Jonah sleeping, and we've seen Jesus sleeping, both in the boat. Can you imagine? I can't. I don't like boats. I'm not a fan of ferries. Can you imagine sleeping in such conditions as these? Can you imagine sleeping so deeply that you need to be woken up from that sleep with a tempest raging around you? What does it tell us about the sleep of Jonah to begin with? Jonah's sleep is the sleep of disobedience. He's running from God. Now, we said we won't go into much detail, but just to be clear, Jonah's run in the opposite direction from God's command. And as you know, Jonah is making for Spain in this boat in chapter 1. So Jonah's crossing the Mediterranean Sea. And Jonah is in such a condition that he sleeps through weariness and hopelessness and discouragement and guilt. His sleep is that escape that the journey is all about. He's escaping literally by running from God, but his sleep is also the sleep of escape. So he needs to be woken up, and then he's confronted with the fact that he cannot escape. He cannot escape literally, but he cannot escape either in this spiritual sense from the claims of God, the God of heaven, over the life of Jonah. So we've got disobedience, we've got weakness, we've got fear, we've got the inability to escape, you cannot run. All of this is symbolized by sleep. Go into Matthew 8, and you've got Jesus Christ asleep in the boat. Now again, you see the same questions. How can he sleep when there's a storm raging? How can he sleep when there's such a little boat? It's not the boat that Jonah was on, much smaller boat going across a lake. How could he sleep so deeply when all this was happening round and about him? Well, all I want you to think about is this. Jonah sleeps and Jesus sleeps. In the sleep of Jesus, you see his humanity, the true human nature of the one who is the Son of God. He is like us. He shares with us. He experiences what we experience. So he's exhausted. He's identifying with us in our needs, in our weaknesses, in our situations, in our circumstance. He feels for us and he shares with us. But can I ask you also to see a little bit deeper than that? Jesus points to Jonah. He says to us, see the sign of Jonah if you want to understand me. Would you identify with Jonah? Would you want to be classed as like Jonah? Jonah, the one who ran away. Jonah, the one who disobeyed. Jonah, the one who got into trouble, who got others into trouble. The one who was thrown into the sea. Would you want to be thought of like Jonah? Now, here's seeing more deeply. Jesus, by identifying with Jonah, identifies with us, not only in our physical weakness, but he also identifies with us in our spiritual weakness. He's identifying with a man who ran away from God. Jesus is sent by God. He's come from God. He is God. He's to do the work of God. But he identifies with one who ran from God. Now, I want you to see in some way or other that by identifying with Jonah, Jesus identifies with us at the most low and challenging level. Jesus doesn't identify with the best of humanity. He doesn't identify with us in our successes. He doesn't identify with us in our triumphs. Jesus identifies with us in our failures, in our disasters, in our disappointments, in our fears. That's what he does here in the story of Jonah. So he's not, if you like, Jesus isn't saying, now look, I am God, but I'll compare myself with the best of you. Jesus says, I'm God, I've become man, and I identify with the lowest of you. I identify with the weakest of you. I identify with even those who've run away from God. You see the humanity of Jesus. Now, again, if we had more time, we could see that there are differences between the sleep of Jonah and the sleep of Jesus. But I just want to show you the similarities. He's identifying with us. He's at one with us, and not just at our best, but he identifies with us at our worst. Well, let's finish then. Time has gone. These two verses then. Can I ask you, always link these two verses together. Jonah 1, verse 9, Matthew 8, verse 27. Jonah confesses that he's a follower of the God of heaven. The God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. This sea that was tempestuous. And again, reading it earlier, this chapter, I was impressed by how often the word tempestuous is used. It's a violent word. There's this tremendous storm that Jonah is speaking in the midst of. And he's saying, I believe in the God who has made this storm, who commands the winds, who raises the waves, who shatters boats. I identify with that God, the God of heaven. Now hold that thought. The disciples say, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? So if you followed me so far, you should be able to answer the question. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Do you know the answer? The answer is the words of Jonah. It is the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. That's the one who was in the boat with the disciples. The God of heaven. It was the God of heaven who was asleep in that little boat with the disciples. It is the God of heaven whom the disciples wake and say, do you not care that we are perishing? It is the God of heaven who stands up in the boat, who commands the winds, who commands the sea, and they obey him. These little men had the God of heaven in the boat with them. And this is who Jesus is. He is the God of heaven, the God of the Old Testament, the God of Moses and Jonah and David and Abraham. He is the God of heaven made flesh, living among us, identifying with us, sharing in our experiences, weak from exhaustion, hungry from lack of food, raising the dead, feeding the hungry. The God of heaven, who goes to the cross, lays down his life, pays the price for our sin, and is raised from the dead. Now, Matthew chapter 8, who is this? It is the God of heaven, and that's the one in whom we believe. Well, let's pray, shall we?